Today on The Journey.
1 Peter 3:15 says this, but in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared. Give an answer to everyone for the hope that is within you. But do this with gentleness and do it with respect.
The Great Commission has turned into the big question in our society. In the Great Commission, Jesus commands believers to go into all the world and preach the gospel. In our postmodern culture, resistance to that command now causes many Christians to ask, is sharing Christ pushing my faith on others? Today, Ron Moore looks at the scriptural evidence and shows us a way to share Christ that is both natural and compelling. Also, we want to send you a copy of Ron's engaging devotional, The Greatest Text Message. It contains short meditations that direct your thoughts to the Word of God and the God of the Word. It's available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with the message, is sharing Christ pushing my faith on others? On The Journey.
We've been involved in a series of sermons called Big Questions. Does God exist? Is Jesus Christ really the only way you can have a personal relationship with God? Why do bad things happen to good people? What's the truth about heaven? Today we come to the final sermon in this series. A very, very important question. And the question is this. Is sharing the most important thing that has happened in my life? Is that crossing over a boundary and going into the area of a person's life where I should not venture? Let's pray. Father, there are many people who have no thought of you or being involved in a group of believers because somewhere down the line, someone has shared the greatest message in a very inappropriate way. Maybe some of us have done that. If we have, we don't want to do it again. So, Father, teach us from your word today. Teach us about passion, about urgency, about appropriateness, about gentleness, about showing respect when it comes to this message of eternal life or death. We are asking for your help. In Christ's name, amen. Two questions I want to deal with. The first one I've already put forth is sharing my faith, pushing Christ on others. The answer to that is absolutely not. As Christians, we are commanded to share our faith. We're the ones Jesus has left on this earth to take a message and proclaim it to those in our worlds, those in our families, those in our neighborhood. We have a message. That is the difference between eternal life with God forever and eternal death. And we believe, as we have talked about in this series, that there is one way you can have a relationship with God, and that is through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but through me. And we believe that. And if we believe that, we've got to share that message. If someone's house was on fire, it would not be pushy for you to say, hey, follow me out to safety. Is sharing my faith pushing Christ on others? No, He is the way, the truth, and life. He's it. Here's the real question. Can people be pushy and obnoxious and judgmental and counterproductive in sharing the message of Christ? Can we as Christians be that way? And the answer is absolutely yes. We can turn people off. We can cause people to run. We can cause people to wonder, what language are you speaking? 1 Peter 3:15. It's been kind of a theme verse through our series. And Peter writes this. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord, and always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Be prepared to answer everyone. But how do you do it? With gentleness and respect. Do we share the message? Absolutely. Do we share it appropriately? We better. How can you share this message of Christ? How can you defend the Christian faith? How can you do that with the passion that you have within you? How can you do that with the urgency of the moment? How can you do that with common sense? How can you do that with gentleness and respect? Take your Bibles and open to Acts chapter 17. We're going to shadow the Apostle Paul as he shares the message of Christ. He always does it right. I want to set up the story. Then I want to go back and draw five or six principles, observations of how Paul appropriately shares the message. And I want us to use a principle. Let's build a bridge between Paul in his day and us in our day. Acts chapter 17. Again, let me just set it up. Paul is on a missionary journey. He was in Thessalonica. Things got pretty dicey there. And so he had to leave. He was run out of town by a Jewish mob. And his friends took him to another city. A riot was stirred up in that city as well. And so Paul has to leave a second time. And Paul is taken away by cover of night to Athens. And he's by himself in Athens. And while he is waiting on Silas and Timothy to come so they can continue their missionary journey, let's see what happens. Acts chapter 17, look at verse 16. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. He is with them in Athens. He's greatly distressed to see the city is immersed in idols. So he did something about it. Look at verse 17. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. Paul went to where the people were. He knew that the Jews and God-fearers would be in the synagogues. He knew that the philosophers would show up in the center of town. Remember, Athens was the city of philosophers, the hometown of Aristotle and Plato, the adopted city of Epicurus and Zeno. And he knew if he went into the center of town, he would have an audience. Sure enough, he did. Look at verse 18. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to dispute with him. Now that's very interesting, Epicurean and Stoic philosophers, because these two groups are on either end of the philosophical spectrum. The Epicureans were the just go for all the gusto you can get type of people. They were the pleasure seekers. The Stoics, on the other hand, wanted to live by this moral law. They were very legalistic and had a pretty high dose of spiritual pride along the way too. So here you have two groups on far ends of the spectrum. Paul is going to interact with them. Because of how he presents the message, he gains a hearing. And they invite him to come and speak at a gathering. And it's there at that gathering, at their invitation, that Paul clearly and boldly, without any hesitation, courageously, appropriately, shares the message of Jesus Christ. Now, here's what I want to do. I want to go back through the story, and let's draw out some timeless principles that applied in Paul's day and will apply in our day. Here we go. Here's the first principle. The appropriate sharing of the gospel has to begin with heart for lost people. Look at 17 verse 16. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed. He looked around him at a city filled with idols, and he saw people walking in and about the city immersed in idol worship. He saw people who in their minds thought that the living God was a God of stone. They had no second thought of the living God, the God of heaven, who sent His Son to die for them. Their spiritual house was burning down. Their spiritual bridge was out on their journey. And Paul was greatly distressed that these people were going to live and die without Jesus Christ. That broke his heart. Does it break yours? Anyone have neighbors without Christ? See them every day. Share tools with them. And eternity awaits them separated from God. Could it be God has placed you in that house not just to take care of your lawn, but to share the message? Your family members and friends, people in your world who don't know Christ, does that break your heart? Do you understand what is at stake? Now, some of you will never be accused of being pushy about sharing your faith because you've never shared your faith. You can't be accused of being pushy for something you've never done. That is disobedience. Christ says, share the message. That is sin. And maybe you need to begin to pray for a heart that is broken for the people around you, people God has placed in your life for a reason. 1 Peter 3:15 says this, but in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that is within you. But do this with gentleness and do it with respect. Number two, a person who shares appropriately the message of the gospel is a student of people and a student of the culture in which they live. Look at verse 23. Paul said, I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship. Notice what Paul did while he was in Athens. He didn't go find a group of believers to hang out with so they could talk about theological issues or discuss the latest book they read. He walked around the city and looked carefully at your object of worship. He studied the culture. He did not cocoon himself. Rather, he wanted to know what the people in that city were hit with day in and day out so he could use that to share the message of Christ. Well, Paul, you should have been studying the Word. What were you doing walking around? You should have been praying, Paul. You should have been worshiping. He did those things. But he wanted to know the culture he lived in so he could take the message and share it with people. And if you and I are going to be effective in sharing the message of Christ, we have to be students of our culture. We cannot stay in a little Christian cocoon and expect people to come to us. Paul went to where they were and shared clearly the message of Christ. We learn from Paul an important lesson. You can be a student of your culture and you can be a student of people without being immersed in a sinful culture or a sinful lifestyle. So, what television programs are people in your world watching? You should know that. You don't have to watch them, but you should know what they're watching. What movies are they going to? You don't have to go to all of them. There are plenty of places you can go find out about the movies. What songs are they listening to? Most people listen to country music, and there's some great lessons, life lessons. Country music, I mean, you go there, you learn about life. Some of you aren't there yet, but you need to be. What books are people reading? Look at verse 28. Paul says this, for in Him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are His offspring. Paul's quoting two Greek pagan poets. You know who those poets are talking about? Zeus. They're not talking about God. They're talking about Zeus. But Paul knew his culture, so he could take the poetry and then bring it into the truth of the gospel. Building relationships with people, knowing their culture, knowing their world. That's what Paul does here, as much as he can. That's what we have the opportunity to do every day. Number three, a person who appropriately shares the message of Christ shows respect. Peter says, 1 Peter 3:15, share with what? Gentleness and respect. Now, as Paul goes in to Athens and he first talks to the Jews, he doesn't blast them for their legalism. He doesn't condemn the non-believers for their adultery. He was in a culture of philosophy. He reasoned with them. Look at the word reasoned in verse 2. He reasoned with them. You know what that word is? Dialego, Greek, dialego. You know what word we get from it? Dialogue. Dialogue is not a monologue. It is talking and listening, speaking and hearing, addressing the question and hearing the other question. It's not a lecture, not a sermon. It's about calmly and gently and respectfully sharing the message of Jesus Christ. The second thing Paul does is he speaks at their invitation. After he gains a hearing, he gets an invitation. And so he goes to where they are gathered and he speaks with them. He reasons with gentleness and respect, and that allows him a hearing. And notice what Paul does. He goes to this group of people. He could have started by saying, "You pleasure-seeking pagans," because the Epicureans were certainly there. He could have said, "You spiritually proud hypocrites," because the Stoics were certainly that. That would have been a true statement. He could have said, "Turn or burn. If you don't trust in Christ, you're on your way to hell. Now, trust in Christ right now." Notice what he does. Look at verse 22. I love this. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious." Takes down the defenses. Then he's able to share the most important message has ever been proclaimed, the message of Christ. Some of us put up the defenses of people right away. Maybe we should just start with, "Hey, I can see you're a spiritual person. Now let me tell you about my spiritual life and the one who makes a difference." Another one. A person who appropriately shares the gospel focuses on common ground. Look at verse 23. "I walked around and looked carefully at all the objects of worship, and I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.'" And Paul used that common ground then to say, "Now, what you worship is something unknown. I'm going to proclaim to you. Let me tell you about this one you're worshiping as an unknown God. He's not unknown at all. He's a God of heaven. He's a God of earth. He's a God who sent His Son to die for us so we could have a relationship with Him. He sent His Son to die and then raised His Son from the dead so we could live with Him forever, so we could follow Him in resurrection as well." He builds on common ground. Some people you say, "Hey, what you're worshiping as an unknown God, let me tell you." Some people you say, "I know you're going through a lot of stuff right now. I know your wife's been sick, and that's got to be tough. Let me pray for you. And you know, we went through an illness in our family, and I can tell you how we got through that if you'd like to know." Confusion in people's life. You can say, "You know what? I know what it's like to be confused. Let me tell you how you can bring clarity to that situation." Then, when you have a hearing, then, you can say it's about trusting in Christ. That may be a day later, or 2 days later, or a week later, or a month later, or a year later. As long as God gives you the opportunity to continue to build in their life, He's the one who brings them to Himself. It's not going to be your fancy way of sharing the gospel. Are you praying for His timing and for people? One more thing. A person who appropriately shares the gospel message calls for change. I want to make that clear. Paul had a heart for the lost. He was a student of his culture. He showed respect. He began at a common point of agreement, but he didn't stop there. He shared the message of Christ. He was bold and courageous in doing it. He did not say anything goes. He did not say the road you're traveling on, oh, that's a good way, just keep traveling on it. He said, no. Look at verse 29. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think of the divine being like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now He commands all people everywhere to what? Repent. He gets it in there in the appropriate time after He has gained a hearing. He says, God's calling you to repent. You're on the wrong road. Repent means to change your thinking, your feelings, and your action. And He's saying, you are on a road away from God, and you've got to change. And by Jesus Christ, you can change, and you can turn around, and you can go the right way. Don't ever think that sharing Christ is simply saying, oh, I feel your pain, and stopping there. It's coming to the point where you say, look, here's the deal. You're a sinner, just as I am. God sent His Son to die for you. And you can have eternal life through Jesus Christ. But you have to trust in Him. And He's the one who will transform your heart from the inside out. You got to share the message. When you do, the result's going to be like Paul. Some people sneered at him. Said, oh man, what a goofball. It's going to happen to us, right? Some people, at the end of chapter 17, said, Paul, come back again. I want to hear what you have to say again. Others trusted in Christ and began a brand new life with Him. So God's in charge of the response. We have to share the gospel appropriately. Now, I'm going to ask you two questions. God is your witness. Do you have a heart for the lost? People God has put in your life, are they just your business partners? Or are they just people that you work with? Or did God put them there so you could share the message of eternity with them? I believe that He did. Two, who are you praying for? Who's that lost person that God has put on your heart? Names should be popping to your head if you truly have a heart for lost people.
And we also want you to have a copy of Ron's devotional, The Greatest Text Message, to help direct your thoughts to the Word of God and the God of the Word. The Greatest Text Message is yours for a gift of any amount, and you can get it at ronmoore.org. Again, our address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. And by the way, we'd like to invite Pittsburgh area listeners to visit our church website at BibleChapel.org. There you'll find information about our area campuses and their ministries. They're located in Robinson, Rostraver, South Hills, Washington, and Wilkinsburg. Again, that address is BibleChapel.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, please tell your friends and family about our program. Also, keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on the journey.